Hello, HR professionals. Good news. This episode of the Great Retention Podcast is valid for 0.5 professional development credits towards SHRM CP, SHRM SCP, and HRCI recertification. Stay tuned to access your certification code.
As a leader, your people are your clients. You spend a lot of time not trying to lose a client. When a client's unhappy, you bend over backwards. But as a leader, your number one client are your employees. And so how many times have you taken a big client to dinner? Tons. How many times have you, you know, sent them a gift or shot an email or whatever? All the time. Then why don't we do it to our employees?
Welcome to The Great Retention, a show spotlighting leaders who've built award-winning cultures where people feel empowered, seen, and recognized. I'm John Duesberg, and on the show today, my co-founder, Prem Bhatti, and I sit down with the CEO of Mountain Seed, Carl Streck. If relationships are the backbone of Mountain Seed, then serving others is the heart behind their business. They've consistently been named the best appraisal management firm to work for because the people who work for Mountain Seed are not just another number. People are actually valued, and they care deeply about everyone's well-being. We'll unpack Carl's story of leading this incredible, fast-growing business and how they're living out their purpose every day, which they describe as providing opportunities that help people thrive using their God-given abilities. I hope you walk away from this conversation as inspired to lead with the same heart as Carl, as I did. Enjoy.
Carl, it's awesome to see you today. Prem and I are super excited to be here, man, here in the Mountain Seed office. So thank you for hosting us.
Yep,
no really problem. Appreciate it. We are going to jump into all things related to culture, being a top workplace, leadership. So really appreciate you being an open book with us here. But why don't we start with just give us a quick flyover. Tell us what Mountain Seed is. You know, how many employees do you guys have now? I know you're based here in Atlanta, but I think you got folks remote as well. And then maybe dive into you as a CEO founder. What does culture mean to you? What is that? What does culture mean to the people here at Mountain Seed?
Yeah, totally. Good to have you guys. So we're based here in Atlanta. Half our folks work here out of the Atlanta office. Half our folks work remote and have always worked remote, which is interesting today. So we've got about 168 people, I heard, as of today. We've grown really fast over the past few years. It's been a bootstrap company for the most part, for about a decade. And we love what we do. I feel like I haven't really worked a day in my life in the past, at least in you know, since we went through the early days of the grind, which I know.
Oh, we know the grind.
We all appreciate.
Yeah, yeah. The gray hair.
Yeah, know, so yeah. Well,
I wasn't gonna say anything, but
you have hair. So I love what we do. We got an awesome team, and I mean, I just feel fortunate to be here, to be on the team. You know, I was just having we do a new employee orientation meeting with me for 30 minutes the first week of somebody on the job. And, as I was talking to this entry level, sales guy, it's like, we all play a role here and he has a role, that he signed up for, and I've got a role, and this maybe speaks to your culture question. Neither one is necessarily more important than the other. Right. We're all on the team. We all have a job to do. My job is different. His job is different. I don't do his job and he doesn't do my job. And so, you know, I think that maybe frames how we think about culture here, which, you know, when we started, I mean, probably pains me to say, I'm not sure that we thought about culture, in the early days. As I remember people talking about a business having a mission and being really confused by that concept. Like we had, you know, 15 people and I'm like, how does a business have a mission? Like, isn't it to deliver shareholder value or whatever they say in public companies? And like a person can have a mission, but how does a business have a mission? I mean, clearly we've come a long way from that you probably saw when you walked in big letters that our mission at Mountain Seed is to provide opportunity and help people thrive in their God-given abilities. But that didn't happen overnight. Like we started out with, and maybe this is a key point. We had a culture, and you have a culture, and every company out there has a culture. It might be a bad culture. It might be a great culture, but you got a culture. And it's became really important for us to look around maybe 5 years into the business, maybe 3 or 4 years into the business, and say, like, what were we put here to do? What is it about this place that we like? What is it about this place that we don't like? And those kind of driving concepts framed our mission. Like, what are we doing this for?
Yeah.
It framed our core values. Like, I think a lot of companies, they'll go to a retreat as a leadership team and they'll come up with core values that feel good. And they'll put like a eagle poster on the wall that says integrity or courage or, whatever. But it doesn't mean anything. And so, thanks to some really helpful facilitators, we said, these values and our culture is not aspirational. It's what are our values today? And so we identified a handful of people in the company that we said, if we had 100 of you, we could take over the world. And what are those key things about Stephanie that makes her amazing here? Mm-hmm. And it was framing it that way that said, what are the things that make people that are so successful here who they are?
Yeah.
And now let's put a name to them.
So that's really interesting. So, you're making it about people, right? The values reflect the people, right? And that's who they are. They're living that out. That's the authentic, about themselves. So that's really interesting that's how you approach values. And it's also interesting that it didn't start that way. It's something that you've kind of moved into over time. But talk to me about, I think you mentioned earlier that you grew almost 100 people last year, during this pandemic, right? How did that change culture? Did that change culture? Did it change how you speak about values? I'm just curious over that growth, because a lot of people are, they've had challenges with that.
Yeah. So I think the bigger and bigger you get, and granted, I've never grown a big company. In fact, I've never had another job other than this. So, for all intents and purposes. So the bigger and bigger you get, the harder and harder it gets to have a place where people feel valued, they have meaningful work and meaningful relationships, like Ray Dalio says in his book Principles. You just have to be way more thoughtful, because in the early days, like, the founders know everybody. And everyone's like on this pirate ship fighting for every buck, and we're all in it together. And when you're 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, like, you don't know all the people on the ship with you necessarily. Yeah. You don't know them well, and they don't know you. And so the bigger you get, you got to be super thoughtful. We look to companies that we aspired to be like, that were bigger than us. There's a company that has 500 people here in Atlanta that has a great culture, maybe more than 500 people. And we met with a lot of their leaders, and our CFO met with their CFO, our president met with their president. And so what are you guys doing at a company much bigger than ours to maintain your culture? And so we started to meet with other people to say, when we grow up to that size, what are the things we need to be doing today to lay the groundwork? Because once you're that size, if you haven't laid the groundwork, it's too late.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
That ship has sailed. So how do we do it? We hired a bunch of people. Like, how did it change? I think there's a great Patrick Lencioni book. I'm going to maybe forget the title, but I think it's The Four Obsessions of a CEO, or all his books were like the four of this, the five of this, and three of this. But it talks about communicate clarity, over communicate clarity. Is like the obsession you got to have.
Yeah.
So communicating the mission, communicating the vision. Right. Where are we headed?
Right.
How are we going to get there?
Repeatedly, right?
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
And a coach of ours that works with a lot of our leaders, he has this phrase. He says, 7x7. You got to say something 7 times in 7 different ways. And if you're a leader that says, well, I told them, fill in the blank, I told them we had a culture of this.
Yeah.
Like, I already told them that. It's like, well, did you tell it seven times in seven different ways? Because, you know, all of our employees are human beings yep. that learn different ways, whether it's written, verbal, visual. They learn different ways. They pick up on different things. So right. I didn't hear that because the thing you said before, I was still thinking about. And so it's this clarity point. So, you know, we start out on the onboarding, with onboarding new employees. Their first day, we go through the mission, almost the entire day. The mission, the vision, the values.
The mountain seed story.
Yeah, right? The mountain seed. Yeah, how we do things here.
Yeah.
And we repeat it and talk about it every single day, every single week. But I also think it's a key piece I mentioned earlier that these things aren't aspirational, our values at least. We have aspirations, don't get me wrong, but our values and our mission, like this is innate to who we are and how God made us. And it's really important for any leader to be authentic in whatever that is, because if you're not authentic, you're going to work really hard to be someone you're not. Yeah. And your people will smell it a mile away, and you will fail to create a culture that doesn't reflect who you are as a leader. Yeah. Like, it just won't work.
That's interesting. And you've talked about, like, I chose to work at Mountain Seed. I chose to work at Mountain Seed as opposed to we chose you. Can you tell us a little bit about that paradigm, I guess, shift?
Yeah. So thing we do for new hires is, like, tell the story of Mountain Seed, which the founding story. And as we get into that part of the orientation, everyone kind of goes around and says, you know, introduce themselves, where they were before, what they do here, you know, kind of some get to know you stuff. And I have seen this shift in, well, actually, I don't know if it was as much of a shift, but I've started hearing this common phrase of, I chose Mountain Seed because. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was really interesting because I feel like the paradigm shift was in times past. Maybe COVID was a part of it, maybe it wasn't. But in times past, a company chose an employee. And we had tons of resumes and we chose you and you should be thankful that we chose you.
Right.
And what I love today is that so many people are telling us at Mountain Seed, I chose Mountain Seed because of the values. I chose Mountain Seed because of the mission. I chose Mountain Seed because the mission was employee centric. Or I chose Mountain Seed because the mission said the word God in it. Like, can you even do that with HR? But it was, I chose Mountain Seed. And I think that's a great thing that's happening in the business world today, is that people are leaving jobs that don't value them, that they don't feel like they can do meaningful work, have meaningful relationships, add value, feel valued. So they're leaving those places in this great resignation, but they're going to places that value them. Yeah. That they identify with the mission, with the direction of the business. They see growth. They see opportunity.
Yep.
That's great. And they're shocked when they get here, and they're like, "You guys actually do this stuff? Like, it's not just on the website." Right? Yeah.
That's great. And you talk about, you know, your core values, your mission. How do you kind of align people in the interview process around that, right? Is that something you guys do for, you know, you folks, like your new employees on?
Yeah. So I think when you're overt about them, there's a piece that I think some folks naturally self-select out that don't even show up here because something turned them off, right? So something they didn't identify with, whatever, from an outsider perspective. So we might have some folks that end up in the candidate pool that something about our values or our mission or, you know, our business attracted them here. And so we're overt about those, right? I mean, you can't, on our job postings, on our website, on our LinkedIn, I mean, we start with the mission everywhere. So we're overt about that maybe first. I have no idea if that makes an impact or not. But then during the interview process and the screening process, because we have folks that live those core values and they're really meaningful, they're asking questions that relate to those. And
when you say ask, so the employee's asking the interviewee questions.
That's right. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So the hiring manager, the recruiters, they're asking questions that are searching for these things like our core values of, be a team player. They might ask a question. I mean, if you ask somebody in an interview, you're a team player, and they say no, then, that's probably a major red flag. But everyone says, yeah, I'm a team player. And, I'm a self-starter. That's another one of our core values. And so we have questions designed around, thinking through, are they humble?
Right.
Be a patriot's one of ours. Like, we're not looking for optimists or pessimists. Everything's always good or it's always bad. It's like, we're looking for people that are patriotic for the good of the company and their team members. But we'll design questions like, when was, tell me about a time when you did something to help out somebody your former job and that made you real proud. Mm-hmm. Right. So something specific.
Yeah.
And the answers just become really telling of, is this person out for themselves or are they out for their team?
Right.
And, but you got to be creative about it and you got to train around it, around the hiring process.
Yeah. But it aligns you around your values then.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you have to be committed as a leader to continue an arduous search if you find somebody that doesn't align with it. I know we had talked about just getting ready for this, that we were hiring for a senior role and I had a candidate that was referred to me. So referrals are great. Candidate referred to me from somebody I know. The background was just perfect. Perfect domain expertise.
Yeah.
Perfect resume. All the stuff. And I'm like, this person is awesome. How do I convince this guy to come work here? And so I get on the phone and, had a little bit of feeling of something that, maybe no big deal. But I noticed on LinkedIn, I was connected to another place, some other folks that he knew. And so I called somebody that was a former coworker. I was like, hey, tell me about this person. He said, man, he can execute like nobody's business and super smart and, all this stuff. And if you're looking to roll this out and he's your guy. And I said, hey, is he kind of a jerk? And he was like, yeah, he's kind of a jerk. And I said, one of our core values is be humble.
Yeah.
And I've got one of two options in that situation. I cannot hire the guy because he violates one of our core principles of what makes us who we are. Or I can change the values. I only have two options.
Right.
I'm running the business. I guess I can change the values.
Yeah.
But if those are our values, then you either change them if you're not going to live by them, or you stick to them.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's real painful. Hiring, firing, promoting. We do our performance reviews have a whole core value section.
That's great.
Where we talk about it. So yeah. It's just part of the DNA.
That's awesome. Here.
Yeah. That's really awesome. Cool. Yeah. So Carl, one thing I wanted to jump back to, you mentioned the Great Resignation. Yeah. And that's something that we're hearing from leaders across the board, across industries, that, they're feeling the impact of losing good people, right? And kind of thinking about how do they retain good people, right? And so I'm just curious, what impact has the Great Resignation had on Mountain Seed? What's your experience been over this last, year, year and a half, 2 years or so? Any feedback on that?
Yeah, so, I think that there's a couple of things. So our head of recruiting calls it the great hire. She's getting people cool. that are saying, I'm resigning from a job that didn't treat me right, and I'm going to a job. So the net effect of the workforce there is, it's not like people are leaving and never coming back. But on the retention side, Like, I think as a leader, you have to resign yourself to the fact that if I'm not treating my people right, investing in them as individuals, providing them the opportunity to grow, to have career progression, to make more money, to whatever it is. Like, if I'm, and it's different for everyone. But if I'm not investing in my people in a way that they're able to accomplish their personal, financial, and professional goals, they're going to leave.
Right.
Yep. Like, they're just going to leave.
Right.
And they should. And Mountain Seat employees should leave too. If we're not investing in them in a way that accomplishes their personal, professional, and financial goals, they should leave. In fact, we had a guy resign, a few months ago. And he went to a place that aligns with the and this is not a bad thing. Like our mission is to provide opportunity and help people thrive in their God-given abilities. And so when he left, I called him and I said, I'm so excited for you because where you want to go in your career, we can't do that. Like, it's just not like,
right.
It's no harm on us. It's no harm on him. Like, that's just not kind of where we're headed. And because we're not willing to invest in the direction that accomplishes your goals, I should have known that. So I think lesson learned as a leader, I should have known, or his manager should have known or whatever. But we should have known that we weren't providing the opportunity for him that accomplishes his goals.
Right.
So that's maybe lesson learned number one. So we should know our people's goals and what they want to do in, at least in their work life, at a minimum in their work life. Like, what are you doing this for?
Sure.
And be willing to invest in that or be willing to help them find a place that will. And so we should have known that this person was not getting what they needed here. And if we would have known, we should have helped him find a home, given him a job here while he found a home that could give him the opportunity that we weren't able to give him.
Yeah.
Like, we should do that as leaders.
Right. Absolutely.
But I think that's a key. If you want to retain your people, you need to know them. You need to have a relationship with them. You need to understand what the heck they're doing this for. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, but if you treat it like a transactional relationship, like you give me hours and I give you dollars,
mm-hmm.
then it'll be a transactional relationship.
Yeah.
Right? They will leave for another transaction. But if you treat it like a real relationship where I know you and I understand what you're doing this for, and yes, there is an exchange of kind of dollars for goods or services, but I'm going to help you accomplish something else that's well beyond the transaction.
Yeah.
But you got to know your people, and it takes a heck of a lot of time and discipline because there's a million other fires you're putting out in your business every day, and this fire burns real slow, but it's burning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's interesting. And cause I was going in my mind is, well, what advice can you give to someone else who's dealing with the great resignation and these things? And so you kind of mentioned it, it's, you knowing your people, but what are some of the ways that you've been able to get to know people at Mountain Seat, for example, that maybe would be advice for other leaders who want to, follow that lead?
Yeah. I mean, remote work definitely complicates things, right? I mean, we're believers in like trusting relationships are our competitive advantage. So trust is kind of the foundation of all that. And it is it's tough to build trust remotely.
Yeah.
It is a whole lot easier to get to know somebody when you can bump into them.
Really organic conversations.
Organic conversation. That, yeah. Or, I mean, you think about you get on a Zoom call and they're stacked back to back to back to back.
Right.
And
yeah, we know about that.
You log in at 3 p.m., you log off at 4 p.m., and you get on another one.
Yeah.
But then you go into a meeting in an office and you walk in at 3 p.m. and you might walk out of the office with somebody.
Right.
And you might bump into them walking in your car.
Yep.
And so it 100% is complicated. And I look forward to the day when people get back to some amount of togetherness.
Right.
At Mountain Seat, we've decided that that there'll be opportunities to be remote, hybrid, you know, together sometime. We believe if you're in Atlanta, it's important to be together in some frequency, whatever that is. It doesn't have to be, you know, 40 hours a week. But to build a relationship like that, it takes, from a management and leadership standpoint, it takes, you know, first it takes effort to like the think of your, maybe that's a good way to frame it. As a leader, your people are your clients, right? So you spend a lot of time not trying to lose a client.
Sure.
When a client's unhappy, you bend over backwards.
It's a great point.
But as a leader, your number one client are your employees. And so how many times have you taken a big client to dinner? Tons. How many times have you, you know, sent them a gift or, you know, shot an email or whatever? All the time. Then why don't we do it to our employees? Like, why don't we do it for our people? Like, they're the ones whom without, we have nothing. Like, I don't care how sophisticated a technology company you are. Like, there are people behind all this. And it takes effort. It takes thought. And remote, it takes orders of magnitude more effort. And more thought.
There's a lot of nonverbal communication that we didn't realize we were missing for about 2 years, right?
And all of those impromptu things, you got to figure out another way.
That's right.
Like, because people during COVID did not stop wanting relationships. Like, they stopped being able to have them in the same way.
Right. Yep.
But as leaders, we got to figure out another way to talk to our folks more regularly, in different ways, meet them on their terms. You know, it's just, it exacerbates that 7 times 7, 7 times in 7 different ways. I mean, it's 700 times 700.
Right. Infinitely harder.
I really like the idea as a leader. I'm going to make sure that our customers are taken care of, and that same mentality, that same level of focus on our employees. I think that's really good. Is there any, I mean, this has been great, Carl. Really appreciate you just opening up, you know, kind of being transparent with us. I think that your values are coming through just even in this conversation. So it means a lot. So thank you. Any other kind of final thoughts or any lessons that you wanted to share that for other leaders out there?
No, I mean, I think that, I mean, the biggest thing is whoever you are, like, accept the fact that that's who you are. And when you're authentic about it, then it comes through. If you're trying to manufacture culture, then you're going to fail.
Right.
So understand who you are. I mean, even our mission is a people-centric mission because that's what we believe. If your company is a client-centric company, then just say it and say our clients are the most important. But don't be confusing to your people. Be clear, be who you are. And if you do that, then it takes a lot less effort. But if you're being someone you're not, it's going to wear you out. Or if you're trying to be like the other tech company or the other startup or the other culture, you're going to wear yourself out and you're going to be pretty bad at it.
Yep.
So, I mean, I just think like the overarching part is clarity, authenticity, trust, relationships, and in the environment we're in, you gotta make more effort, do it more times. You gotta show your people more love because we live in a world that's a little bit different right now. And it, as leaders, it's our obligation to step up and be attentive to our people, but you gotta be who you are. Or else, you know, you're going to get found out pretty quick.
That's great. Thank you so much,
cool.
Carl.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, totally.
That wraps up another edition of The Great Retention. Thank you for joining us and being a leader who genuinely cares about recognizing and empowering the everyday hero in the team members around you. We are proud to support your leadership journey and grateful for your support of this podcast. If you haven't already, please rate the show on Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend. This helps us get this content in front of more aspiring people-first business leaders. If you'd like more perspectives on how to create exceptional cultures around award-winning talent, go to coolleaf.com and sign up for our newsletter to get them straight into your inbox 2 times per month. This podcast wouldn't be possible without the help from our production team at Chat with Leaders Media. Learn how you can launch your own podcast to grow your business at chatwithleaders.com. Thanks again for listening. Now go be people first leaders by celebrating and connecting your people today.
HR professionals, thanks for listening. As promised, this episode of the Great Retention Podcast is valid for 0.5 professional development credits towards SHRM CP, SHRM SCP, and HRCI recertification. To claim your SHRM credit, please visit thegreatretention.com/SHRM. To claim your HRCI credit, please visit thegreatretention.com/HRCI. Complete the 3-question form to receive your certification code. That's thegreatretention.com/SHRM and thegreatretention.com/HRCI.